What we're going to talk about today, by the way, the background is the wall from my son's house. So what we're going to talk about today is, if you look at the people of the United States, over 75% is the most recent statistics of Americans claim to be Christians. And that's a statistic, I don't know if you keep track of such things, I do. It's maybe about 10 years ago was at 80. It's been steadily declining over the years. What I found fascinating, though, is I was looking at, well, who's increasing? And the answer is, it's basically non-religious people. People who don't claim to have any religion at all. That's what's steadily climbing. The non-Christian religions are holding fairly steady. But Christianity is declining in America. But even at 75% with a decline, that's still a high number. And it appears to conflict with Jesus' particular warning in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 13, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." How is it that we have 75% claiming to be Christians, and yet Jesus states very plainly that few actually make it to heaven? And that leads to the question that what really makes a person a Christian? Because we have neighbors around us who all claim to be Christians, but you look at their lives and you say, well, that doesn't quite match with what the Bible teaches about Christianity. If we look at some of the things that people say, one of the ones I'm running across more and more are people that say, well, I feel that I'm a Christian. Thoughts about Christ and about God makes a person feel good. They're happy with themselves, so therefore they conclude they are a Christian. And yet what we find in the scriptures in Proverbs 28, Proverbs 28 and verse 26, it says, "He who trusts his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered." Our hearts, our feelings change. And so often I get panicky messages from people saying, well, I don't feel like the Holy Spirit's with me anymore. I don't feel God's presence in my life anymore. Things change. But I want you to notice what the other thing is. The heart is deceptive. The heart can be changed. You go through life and your emotions don't stay steady. But there's a counterpart to that statement. It says, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. Walking wisely, doing things according to God's word, that saves a person. And over in Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs 3 and verse 3, it says, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil." We got to do what God says. It's not about trusting my feelings and saying, well, and basically my conscience is not bothering me. It's about, are you doing what God actually said? And now, But like we said, some people just claim to be a Christian. I consider myself a Christian. But is that claim enough? Now, let me make it clear that claiming to be a Christian is important. Jesus states in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And in verse 32, it says, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But everyone who denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." We have to be willing to admit to others, even when the pressure is against us, that we are Christians and that we do follow Christ. But is that sufficient? Are words alone enough to make somebody a Christian? Well, look over in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and in verse 46. Jesus asks this question. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who digs deep and lays a foundation on the rock. And when the flood occurred, the torrent burst against the house and it could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great." Without some type of action, without putting it into practice, words alone are like a house without a foundation. It looks good for a while, but it's eventually going to fall down, especially in times of trouble. This is why Jesus tells us earlier in this chapter that we can tell about who people are by looking at what they produce. Moving back in Luke chapter 6 and verse 43, it says, "For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which it fills his heart." You look at what a person does. Look at the outcome in their lives. That tells you who that person is, much more than what they actually say. In fact, we basically gather that into an old saying, cliche, when we say that actions speak louder than words. And this is basically what Jesus is saying. You know them by what is resulting from what they do, not by what they say so much. Again, you know, the question is, can just saying that I am a Christian, is that enough? How do I know when I'm a Christian? Take a look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and starting with verse 3, it says, "By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner in which he walked." How do you know if you're a Christian? Well, are you doing the things that Christians do? Are you doing the things that Christ does? In fact, the whole name of the word Christian means a follower of Christ. So it really comes down to, are you following Christ? Are you behaving like Christ would? But for other people, they'll tell you, well, I believe, so of course I'm a Christian. So is a claim of faith enough? In John chapter 12, John chapter 12 and verse 42, it says, nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. There were people who believed in Christ, but wouldn't admit it. Now, we already saw that without confession, you cannot be saved. That's what Jesus said. Belief alone does not save a person. It's essential, it's absolutely required, but it's not sufficient by itself. In fact, James talks about it at length in James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 17 says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone will say, may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says that, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Again, comes down to the fact that without action, words are nothing more than words. I can't tell you how many people write to me, and they'll start out saying, well, I'm a Christian, or I believe in Christ. And you know the very next statement is going to be, but. And they'll start telling you about them living in sin, the lies that they tell, the cheating that goes on, the drunkenness that they've been involved in. But I'm a Christian. It's just empty words. I believe. Well, show me your belief. Not just say it, show it. For others, though, they go to the other side of this extreme, and it's about doing good things. I do good things. I am nice to people. I treat people well, so therefore I'm a Christian. Some have made whole religions out of that, like a Salvation Army. It's a whole religion about doing good that says, hey, therefore I'm a Christian. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will depart from them, or say, I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Well, isn't it a good thing to cast out demons? And they're doing it in Jesus' name. But Jesus rejects these people because they're not doing the Father's will. I don't know if you thought about this, but there's a prophecy in Zechariah 13. We won't go there. That basically states that prophecy and demons would be cast out of the land. And prophecy would end. to the point where a prophet's own parents would reject him if he declared himself to be a prophet. Here are people, after Paul has stated that prophecy would end, who are claiming to cast out demons. But there's no demons possessing people anymore. There are people claiming to prophesy. But prophecy was said by God to end. It doesn't matter if people say they're doing these good things when God says they've already ended. They're not doing God's will. In other words, they're making it up. It isn't enough to pick a few things that you think will please God. God tells us what pleases Him. Christianity is not a build-your-own-religion. And yet that's the way most people treat it. They look for the religion that pleases them the most. And for most today, it's, well, I like this piece, and I like this piece, and I'll build my own religion. Instead of looking at what does please God. What does God say He wants? In the same way, take a look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and in verse 11. It says, for he said, he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you become a transgressor of the law. There are a lot of people you talk to, and they say, well, hey, at least I'm not cheating on my spouse while they get drunk. Well, at least I'm not doing this while they tell lies. And somehow they think that because I'm not doing the really bad stuff, in their view, therefore I'm a Christian. If you don't follow God completely, then you're really not following Him. See, being a Christian is not a title. It's a description of a person who has given up everything to follow Christ's teachings. Take a look at what Paul said about himself in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You realize what Paul's really saying? When you look at Paul, you don't see Paul. You see Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. That when other people see you, they don't see you, they see Christ. And so everything is done by Christ's authority. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. And it's something that comes deep from within. In our scripture reading this morning, in 1 Peter chapter 1, take a look at verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Sincerity, ferventness, from the heart, from the soul. Purify yourself. It's driven by love that comes welling out deep from within the person. It is who that person is. And that's because they've been transformed. They've been changed. They came out of the world. But in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 and starting with verse 1, Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Totally transformed, totally changed. A Christian is just not a surface thing. It's not a claim. It's not just words. It's a life that's totally devoted to showing Christ. In everything they do, in everything they say, in how they behave, how they treat other people. That's what it means to be a Christian. And there's an opportunity this morning, if there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ so that you are showing Christ to the world. And if you are a child of God and would like to pray as your brother on your behalf, there's an opportunity again. Why don't you come forward if you stand and sing the song Selected.